I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 11. Tonight, we're not going to talk about the subject of marriage. Now, next week, we will go right back to that subject on Wednesday night. But tonight, I want to talk to us about prayer and prayer in regard to the upcoming weekend. Luke chapter 11. By the way, thank you, Jacob. You did a good job on your song. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Go to verse number 1. Luke 11, verse number 1. And it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If you'll look back at me, we'll come back to this scripture in just a few minutes. I'll say nothing new tonight, nothing profound. I'm just very simply going to talk to you about how to pray for our upcoming big weekend here at the church, the conclusion of our spring program. As you know, the Sunday is April 22. That number is stuck in my brain. It's stuck in your brain. We just keep saying it over and over and over again. It's our goal to have a minimum of 2,012 people in Sunday school. Now, that's not in church, but in Sunday school. And that, to some of you, you don't know what the big deal about that is. But Sunday school's our goal. And then here on the property, we're not doing this with extended chapels. We're doing it right here on this property. And it's a big deal. Now, we can't do this without God. Well, that means we're going to have to pray. And I'll tell you this, even if we could do it without God, I wouldn't want to. I want to do what we do with Him, not just for Him, but with Him. The Bible is full of examples of the prayers of great Christians right before big miraculous events. By way of introduction, I'm going to talk to you about some of them. I'll read to you a little portion of a prayer or two that's printed in the Bible. And these are prayers right before God did something big. For instance, we all know about the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people saved and baptized. What a miraculous, miraculous day. But listen to this verse. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Now, I want to point out, this is right before the day of Pentecost, and it says they continue in prayer. That means, folks, we need to just keep praying about this thing, just over and over and over again. Said they were in one accord. In other words, the people had unified, and they were all praying about this. And I like this, because in a special way, it talks about some ladies. It talks about the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, praying. Ladies, we need you to pray. God, for a specific reason, mentions the ladies and how they got involved in this thing. And so, ladies, I want you to pray. I want you to pray in a special way that God's will be done this weekend. So we know that they prayed and God did something fantastic on the day of Pentecost, went down in history. Secondly, a sermon that I preached this last Sunday was about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And we know what happened there. There were 450 false prophets, and there was a showdown between Jehovah God and the false prophet of Baal. And we know that God sent fire from the sky and did a miraculous, miraculous thing. And that fire, it burnt up and consumed a sacrifice that had been drenched with 12 barrels of water. But what I want to do is I want to read to you the prayer that came immediately before that miraculous event. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 37, it says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. here we see Elijah praying, and he said, Lord, I want you to hear me. And Elijah said, I want you to hear me, Lord, and I want you to answer my prayer because I want the people to know who you are. And I want the people to know that you're my God. I want the people to know you're Jehovah God. And again, we know what took place on Mount Carmel. Fire came from the sky, a miraculous thing. But notice again, prayer came first. Prayer came first. You're going to find it a rare, rare occasion in the Bible that a miracle comes and then they start praying afterwards. Now, they may go back to God and worship him and thank him afterwards. But as you look through the Bible, you're going to find prayer first, miracle second. Prayer first, miracle second. So we've seen the day of Pentecost. They prayed, then God moved. We see the great event on Mount Carmel. They prayed first, God moved second. Then there is a time in history where God's people were rebuilding the wall around the city of Jerusalem. It was the rebuilding of the wall by Nehemiah. The Bible tells us that there was people that were fighting the rebuilding of the wall. There was opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah, a couple of men, went. They became very negative and nasty and evil against Nehemiah, the leader. They wrote letters and tried to discourage him. It got to the point where the people that were rebuilding this wall, they would have a sword in one hand and a trowel for spreading cement or mortar with another hand. So they'd lay some brick for a little while, and then the enemy would attack, and they would turn with their other hand and they'd fight the battle with the sword for a little while. And they were trying to rebuild this wall. Now, there is in the onset of this whole story of the rebuilding of the wall, we see a prayer. Again, let me read to you from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 6. And the Bible says this: Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Now, Nehemiah is trying to accomplish a great feat, and he's asking God to help. Well, God is a God of honor, and God is a God of justice. And Nehemiah knows that if the people have sin in their life, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So there's some confession going on here. I want to tell all of you, I love you and I am your friend. And I have to tell you that if you're not getting your prayers answered, one of the first things I want you to do is I just want you to look and see if there's sin in your life that needs to be taken care of. I want you to get your prayers answered. I want your needs to be met. And when we're not getting our prayers answered, you have to understand it's not God. It's got to be something else. God is the one that loves us and wants to meet our needs. Now, there's a variety of reasons. There's timing reasons for answers to prayer. And God knows what's best for us. But let me say, I think the biggest reason people don't get their prayers answered is because people don't pray. But I think secondly, probably the second biggest reason why people don't get their prayers answered is that their hearts are not pure toward God. We're going to God and we're asking God to do things for us, and there's sin in our life. And now I know we're all sinners. I do not believe that you will be perfected in your life. You ought to be striving for perfection. But when there is something in your life and you know it's not supposed to be there, and you let it stay there, and then you expect that God's just going to abundantly answer your prayers, he's not honor bound to do that. And so in this passage of scripture, Nehemiah knows there's a great task ahead of him. Nehemiah wants to see that task fulfilled, and Nehemiah knows to go to God and make sure he clears up the sin problem between himself, and he encourages others to do the same. So I want you to remember that. So we see the great task of the day of Pentecost in a prayer. So the miracle followed the prayer. We see the great task of the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Just immediately before the miracle came, there was a time of prayer. They did rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. They were victorious. Nehemiah did finish that wall. But what happened? Prior to the rebuilding of the wall, there was a time of prayer, and there was a time where people made sure their hearts were right with God. Then I think of the Battle of Jericho. Most children that have been in church any time at all have heard about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, another historical event. But let me read to you, if I could, the prayer in regard to the Battle of Jericho. It says in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15, "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Here we see a tremendous humility in Joshua. We see that Joshua, he fell to the ground. You say, now, listen, folks, we do not have to lay on the ground to pray. You do not have to kneel to pray. You can drive and pray. Matter of fact, while most of you are driving, the rest of us are praying. But you can drive and pray, and you can walk and pray, and you can pray in your body can be in any position and pray. But one of the reasons why we kneel in prayer, it's a picture of humility. It's a picture of us bowing in humility to our God. And he deserves that we bow to him. Here we see that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he began to worship and pray. Now, here in church, most of the time, everybody that prays will get on their knees. And I realize this. I know I have some senior citizens that if they got down on their knees, we may not get them back up. There's some that have bad backs and bad knees. And hey, boy, I understand that. And just so you know, I've had some say to me, say, "Preacher, you know, sometimes coming to the altar call, I'm not sure I could go down there and I could get down on my knees. But I want you to know I bow my head and close my eyes in my pew and I pray." And I'm good with that. But for those of us that can, there are times when we need to walk this aisle and we need to come down here and get on our knees, humble ourselves. And we need to pray to our God in a very, very humble fashion. And that's exactly what happened to Joshua. And as we know that the Battle of Jericho, another miraculous event, but notice that prayer came before the miracle. Prayer came before Pentecost. Prayer came before Mount Carmel and the falling of fire from the sky. Prayer came before the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem by Nehemiah. Prayer came before the Battle of Jericho. Did you know that right before Jesus was crucified, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane praying? And it wasn't long after that we see the great miracle of the resurrection. Believe me, prayer came before the crucifixion and prayer came before the resurrection. This is how God set it up. God set it up that he wants his people to depend on him. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to serve him, but he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to beg for his assistance. God wants to be wanted by his people. And like I told you, if we could pull off a big day without God, I'd rather not. I would rather do it with him. I'd rather have a small day with God than a big day without God. Because we serve God. We're the people of God. This is not our church. It's his church. We are not our own people. We are his people. And so I want us to do it. I want us to do it right. Now, in our text earlier, we read from Luke chapter 11. Let me read to you again Luke 11, 1, and then I'm going to get real, real, real practical here. In Luke 11, 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," in reference to Jesus, "in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." It's so interesting. Jesus was praying. His disciples heard him, watched him, were a part of him praying. And when he stopped, they said, I'll reword this a little. I think they said, "Wow, could you teach us to do that?" I think they knew the importance of prayer. And I don't know about you, but can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? I mean, to me, that would just flat out be amazing, just to hear Jesus pray. And one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gave them a sample prayer in verses 2, 3, and 4. Tonight, I'm going to just kind of give us a list of things that we ought to pray about for our upcoming big day. I'm going to give you some prayer information about the upcoming day. And now we already, if you remember correctly, on April 12 and 13, we set it up so our church somebody in our church was praying for a continuous 2012 minutes. 2012 solid minutes, people were praying about God using us on this big day. So, and we've been praying about it. I know you have been. I know I have been. But between now and Sunday, all I want to do is I'm going to point out to you some things that you could pray about. Whether you kneel to pray, whether you walk and pray, whether you're lying in your bed tonight and you pray some of these things, let's just bombard heaven and ask for God's help for this coming Sunday. Now, I want to tell you where we're going. I'm going to give you a quick list of things to pray for. It's going to be very simple. Again, it won't be profound. When we're done, we're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask everybody that can and everybody that would. We're going to take a little extra season of prayer. I'm going to have a couple come to the platform and pray. But we're a praying church. I believe God answers prayer. And I would just like to take a little extra time tonight and pray that God do something that's beyond us this weekend. So let me get started. The first thing I want us to pray for is I want us to pray that God would be glorified. That God would be glorified. In Psalm 86, verse number 12, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now, we want God glorified. And when I say that, it's not. And listen, I realize that we're having some fun and some people can get some rewards for their efforts. And I'm for all of that. But folks, let's not lose sight of this thing. The great reward is that God is glorified. And I think it's not that you are glorified, but I think it's that God is glorified. I think it is not that I am glorified, but that God is glorified. You know what I'd love to see? I'd just love to see people walking away saying this: wow, did God do a great work? Wow, did God do a great work? So we need to pray that God be glorified. Now, let me explain something to you. God will be glorified and you will help answer that prayer. You say, how so? By you staying humble and by you glorifying him in it. You see, we're going to pray that God be glorified, but God deserves glory and God will get the glory. The only thing that could keep him from getting the glory is who? Me and you. So when we pray that God be glorified, we better make sure we get in on making that one to happen. And that's by us glorify God. If you win rewards and things, I'm glad for you. But why don't you hit your prayer closet after the day and during the day and just thank God for what he used us to do. Number two, we need to pray that souls be saved. Pray that souls be saved. I said this to the teachers meeting earlier. If we spent $20,000 this Sunday and one little boy was saved, it would be worth it all. You look at the value of a soul. Jesus Christ died, was buried and resurrected, and he would have done that for one little boy. That's how valuable the soul of a man is. The Bible says in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. See, I think God will be glorified in the day if people get saved. And that, well, our first point was that God be glorified. And now we find out that by bearing fruit, then that we can glorify God. Let's make sure that people are being saved in our visitation efforts as we're out visiting people. And they are. Boy, it's amazing. I wish you could hear all the stories. There are people out visiting and putting hours and hours in, and there are just people being saved by the hundreds just because we're out visiting. Let's make sure that people get saved in our visitation and in our services. I think the church service this Sunday morning, I want you to know I'm going to preach a sermon that will be primarily a salvation sermon. And we want to see people saved in our children's churches. There are going to be people saved. And I want salvation sermons preached. Our Sunday school lesson this Sunday morning is all about salvation. And I think we want to see as many people born again as we can. I want us to reach our goal. I want us to exceed our goal. But I want you to know my real goal is that we do our best. And my real goal is that all sorts of people get saved. That's the ultimate goal. So pray that God be glorified. Pray that souls be saved. Number three, pray for safety. Pray for safety. I'll read to you a very simple verse. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 31. It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Now, it says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. What's that telling us to do? We're to do our part. Those of you that are in the parking lot, you're going to help us keep people safe. You know, and I want you all to respect these parking lot attendants out here. I have some hand-chosen men that work in between our buildings. They're out there to slow people down while they're driving. We have parking lot attendants that are out here to keep us from doing the wrong thing. And listen, parking lot attendants, your job's a big deal. Ushers, your job's a big deal. Everybody that's attending to people here on this property, it's a big deal. The Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. See, what it's telling us is here, you can put armor on a horse. You can prepare a horse for battle. But you must understand, after your preparation, then comes the intervention of God. And that's what we're to do our part, and we will. Thank God for you bus mechanics. Thank God. Thank God. And men, we just want to make sure everything is up and ready to go. Hey, drivers, I want you to drive safe. I want you to be careful. But we need to pray for safety. We need to pray for the safety of our buses. We need to pray for people that they're safe while they're out soul winning and visiting. We need to pray for our bus riders that they're safe. You know, sometimes we bring people in. Some of our bus riders, they're new to the Lord. They're new to the things of the Lord. They get a little rambunctious. We need to pray that God will help keep them safe and that their attitudes will be manageable. And I think this, I want you to pray for the Holy Roller. He's going to be performing. I'd hate to see anything happen there. Well, I know some folk have a family, and we've got some Bible college students coming back for the weekend and they're traveling. Let's just pray for everybody's safety for the weekend. So we're going to pray that God be glorified. We're going to pray that people be saved. We're going to pray for safety. Number four, we want to pray for visitors to come. We want to pray for visitors to come. Pray for visitors to come. In 3 John, verse number 5, it speaks of our treatment of strangers. The word stranger often in the Bible would be someone new. That would be virtually our word for visitors. Now, we need to be careful how we treat those strangers. But we need to pray that visitors come. Now, let me tell you, some of you, make sure you pray. If you've got a list of the visitors that are coming, you ought to pray for them by name that they show up. Every bus captain here, you ought to pray down the list of the people that have promised you that they're coming and pray that they come. Every bus worker, you get your list out of the people that you signed up and you pray over their name. You take that name to the Lord and say, Lord, Joey Michaels promised me he was coming on the bus tomorrow. Don't let anything stop him. Help him to wake up on time. Help him to come to Sunday school tomorrow. Help him to be on the bus. You pray for him by name. And then could I recommend this to all of us? Maybe we should pray for our visitors that are coming. But then it might be a good idea, though we might not know the names, it might be a good idea that we just pray for everybody else's visitors, too. And if you say, preacher, I don't know how I would be able to go out and visit. I think we have people in wheelchairs, on crutches. We have people that might not be able to get out and visit. One thing you could do then is if you're stuck at home, why don't you pray? We could use you to pray and just beg God to help us and pray that visitors come. So pray for them by name. It makes a difference. That's specific. So I want you to pray for visitors to come. Number five, I want you to pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. I'll explain that to you. But in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, we need to pray for laborers. And this is a good prayer for our church in general. See, those of you that are newer in the church, you'll find that our church will help you and we'll serve you and we want to meet your needs. We'll shake your hand at the back door. We'll help you to find a parking spot. We'll lead singing. We'll provide you with good singing. We'll provide you with the nursery. We'll provide you with the King's Kids. We'll provide you with Young Fundamentalists. We'll provide you with the missions program. We'll provide you with preaching. We'll provide you with choir. Just so you know, it won't be long until you ought to become a part of the providing crew and you start providing. Now, so the church is here to serve and we all serve one another. But sooner or later, everybody ought to get some responsibility. And so as we pray for laborers, God will begin to provide. But now on this day, one of the greatest things you could pray for in regard to laborers are people that get involved and bring guests with them. Everybody can do that. Now, not everybody will be a bus captain. Not everybody will be a Sunday school teacher. But I'll tell you this. If you this verse here is when it talks about the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what it's talking about? Somebody go out and bring the harvest in. So who's that? That's me and you. You say, but I've only been a member of the church for 2 weeks. I know, but you are now saved and you're supposed to help us bring people to the Lord. And so we all need to pray for laborers, people that will labor at bringing people in so that they can get saved. So we're almost praying for people to become producers, to become productive. Number six, if you would please pray that the Holy Spirit's power be upon the day. Pray for the Holy Spirit's power. Pray for the Holy Spirit's power. I'll read to you from Luke chapter 11. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God is offering the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. Now, you know, something that I think that we do, I appreciate it, and I think we see the result of it. God bless you for praying for me. I know that you pray that the Spirit of God be upon me, and I appreciate it, and I need that, and I want it. But, you know, some of you, if you've ever prayed with me on a Saturday morning at men's prayer meeting, you'll often hear me pray that the Holy Spirit of God will rest upon our bus captains. And let me tell all you Sunday school teachers, I pray that the Spirit of God will rest upon our Sunday school teachers. Did you know, as a Sunday school teacher, you need the Holy Spirit of God to lead you as much as I need the Holy Spirit of God to lead me while I'm preaching? You know, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us as we're out on visitation. And we need, you nursery workers, did you know that I pray for you? You say, you pray for our safety with the little Indians? Yes, I do. But more than that, I actually pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work through the nursery workers. Some of you work in that nursery that's the newborn baby nursery. I think it's 6 months and under. Does that sound right? Is that what it is, Mrs. Davis? Do you know that I pray that the Holy Spirit of God works through the nursery workers that are dealing with 3-month-old babies? You say, but they're just babies. Do they not deserve that they be attended to by someone that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are we not sowing seed and kindness in church that we hope that is going to bring forth souls saved? Listen, I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit of God be upon everybody. You say, well, I've never really thought about that much, preacher. I just kind of come in here and sit down and I've not been worried about it much. Listen, this church in the New Testament church of Jerusalem, the Bible talks about that. That was a unified church. And if you really looked at it, part of the reason they were in one accord was because of the Holy Spirit. Every child here ought to want to walk in the Spirit. Every teenager, every new member and every old member. I wish everybody here would pray that the Spirit of God would rest upon you. Hey, there could be some visitor sitting by you on Sunday morning. And just because you've got a little extra of the Spirit of God with you, as you sing, as you shake their hand, as you're good to them, who knows that you won't be the key that causes them to want to come forward because they've seen something special in you. So let's pray that the Spirit of God moves. We'll pray that the Spirit of God wins the lost and draws the backslidden back to him. And maybe even our faithful people with something, God would do something special. Number seven, pray that the backslidden will be reclaimed. Pray that the backslidden will be reclaimed. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You ought to treat a backslidden person when they come into church the way you'd want to be treated if you were trying to come back to God. You know, this is a good time for backslidden people to come back. We're having a big day and there's some excitement and they may be a little more interested in a little music and a big monster truck. And that's all good. You say, well, they ought to just come back to God because they want to get right with God. I know that they should, but because they're backslidden, they're not going to see it all exactly like that. Some of them don't even really consider themselves backslidden. They're all more than satisfied with all their justifications why they've not been in church. Folks, let's just get them back in. And I beg of you, don't be snooty and put your nose in the air. Can I tell you all something that I do? I don't do this. I do this sincerely. But when someone is backslidden and they come back to church, I go out of my way to go over and shake their hand and smile. Now, I don't go over to them and say, "Ha! Look what the dog drug in. Long time no see." That's the last thing they wanted you to do. But what they want is that they be treated normally. They don't want you to turn your nose up or run and hide from them. They need to know that they can come back to Jesus. And you say, "Well, I don't feel that way about it." Here the Bible says you want to be careful because you might be the next one backslidden. You might be the next one backslidden. But let's pray that, and I really believe this, I think that there could be a lot of people that have gotten out of church that could come back this Sunday. Wouldn't it be something if we could reclaim dozens and dozens of people that just need to get back in there and start serving God again? Next, I want you to pray for the leadership of the church. Pray for the leadership of the church. I'm talking about bus captains and Sunday school teachers and producers. We have some people that are not Sunday school teachers, but they're always bringing visitors. That's a leader. The Bible says in Acts 12:5, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayers were made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Here is where something supernatural needed to happen, and they were praying for the leadership. And something supernatural did happen. God, in a miraculous way, opened the bars of a prison and let Peter get out. But pray for the leadership. Just pray for them. And leaders, let's pray for one another. Number 9, pray that the devil will be hindered. Pray that the devil will be hindered. Pray that the devil will be hindered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." I already preached a sermon about this. Opposition comes. The greater the work, the greater the potential opposition. I think Satan would like to hinder us. I think Satan would like to hinder people being saved. Satan would like to hinder the glorifying of God. Satan would like to hinder the presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray a prayer a lot. I pray a prayer, and many of you have heard me pray it, and some of you have heard me pray it over and over again. I pray this: protect us from the evil one. Protect us from the evil one. And I have to be very honest. You might think that that's some cute religious prayer, but I almost live with that thought. I live with the thought, "Oh God, protect me." I know what it's like to be attacked by the devil. And I find myself praying continuously, "Protect us from the evil one. Oh, protect us from the evil one." And if you've been in a war with old Smutty Face, you know how bad it can hurt. You know how dirty he plays. And so I used to pray, "Protect us from the evil one," if I thought something evil was about to happen to me. Now I just pray it all the time. I say, "Now, this isn't going to be a by chance thing. I'm just going to keep this thing hot and heavy, and I'm just going to keep praying that I'll be protected from the evil one." But listen, we need to pray that God would bind the devil, and that what influence the devil would like to have, that he doesn't get to have it. And let me tell you, again, a little bit, you'll help answer some of this. Don't let the devil get into your attitude. You know, the devil, he's not going to show up with a pitchfork and you know, horns. How will he show up? People. So you and I need to be careful. We don't want him to influence us. All right, next. Pray for the weather. Pray for the weather. And in a minute, I'm going to probably say something about this. It'll be, you know, a little different than what you think. Pray for the weather. In Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12, it says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.'" Here, Joshua had prayed that God do something special with the weather. Now, I want you to know that I believe that first of all, rain or shine, we're going forward. Rain or shine, we're going forward. We'll get people saved. You and I, we don't have any control over what God does with the weather, and God may do what he wants. Now, of course, I would like it to be that people would come out. But truthfully, if I can tell you this, we could say, "Lord, help us with the weather." But here's what I really think we need to do a little extra praying about. It's not going to be the weather that hurts us as much as it's going to be people's reaction to the weather. And one thing you might pray is, Lord, help the people to come no matter what the weather. You know how people are. Did you know that we could have 2012 in Sunday school on Sunday, no matter what the weather? What's it going to be based on? People. So if you would pray. So, folks, that means this. There's no need. You say, well, wonder if it's raining on Sunday morning. Well, we're still having church. You say, wonder if it's raining on Sunday morning. We're still preaching salvation. Wonder if it's raining on Sunday morning. Our goal is 2012 minimum Sunday school Sunday morning. That's just what we're going to do. We're going to go forward. And we'll pray that God do what he will do. But the thing to pray for is that the people do not let the weather keep them from. Did you know that if the Holy Roller did not perform, everybody that's supposed to come to church ought to come anyway? Nowhere in the Bible is there a command to go see the Holy Roller. But everybody that ought to be coming, there's a command that they be in church. And so, but the man that is, you know, running the Holy Roller, he told me, he said, Brother Owens, I promise you, if it's rainy or muddy, we'll have a better show. So if you've ever seen a truck like that in the mud, it can be a lot of fun. So bring your raincoat. And we'll have a garden hose to spray everybody down before the evening service if you get muddy. But pray for the weather. Number next. Some should fast and pray. Some should fast and pray. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 21, it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. This kind, what was this? This is a reference to a great miracle. And what is fasting? Fasting, for those of you that are newer Christians, fasting is a time when you give up a privilege, food. You give it up, and instead of eating at your eating time, you take that extra time and you walk with God. You pray, you read your Bible. There are other things that you could give up, but food is the primary thing that I would point out to you. There might be somebody in here, you say, well, I won't eat one day this week, and I'll spend my meal times with the Lord. Maybe someone would say, I won't eat a particular meal. So you could fast a meal, you could fast two meals, you could fast all day long. There are people that have fasted 30 days and 40 days. You don't have time between now and Sunday to do that, but you could fast. And it's a time, a special time of prayer. Then the last thing, and I put this at the end of the list, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but if you pray for our finances, the Lord provides, he always does provide, but we're spending extra money. But it's, to me, it's worth it. It is worth it. I want God to do something great. And, you know, let's face it. You heard that old saying, you don't pay much, you don't get much. It just costs you something. It just costs something to achieve something. And we will have, I think, a great day. Now, I'm done. I'm going to repeat the list, but then we'll have an altar call as usual. But the purpose won't be for other decisions unless somebody wants to get saved tonight. But it's going to be primarily that we would pray and get ready for the big day. Let me remind you that every time in the Bible that you see a supernatural event, it's preceded by prayer. You look through the Bible and you're going to find that someone was talking to God and God responded. So we're going to pray that God be glorified, that many be saved. We're going to pray for safety. We're going to pray for visitors to come. We're going to pray that everybody become a part of the workforce or for laborers. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit work among us. We're going to pray that we get to reclaim the backslidden. We're going to pray for the leadership. We're going to pray that the devil be hindered. We're going to pray for the weather, and we're going to ask God to give us good weather. But we need to also pray that the people not be hindered by whatever God gives us. And of course, some could fast and pray, and then we pray for the finances. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask the instrumentalist to come. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start our invitation here in a moment. If you're able to come to the altar, you come. Parents, make sure you kind of watch and attend to your children. I don't want them to play around. For just a minute or so, and I want you to listen to me real carefully, for a minute or so while people are coming, I'm going to have the instrumentalists play. But in a moment, I'm going to stop the instrumentalists. And then we're going to pray. What I'm going to do is when we've all come forward and I stop us, I'm going to call on some men to come up and pray at the microphone and just pray that God use us. We may take a little time. It might be quiet off and on. But why don't you truly and honestly pray? Now, if you want to come, you're welcome to come. You do not have to come, but you'll be welcome to come if you want to come. Some won't be able to just because of health issues. But I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's